Thank you for listening to the Following Films podcast. Today I'm joined by writer-director Alex Phillips. I had him on the show today to talk about his film All Jacked Up and Full of Worms. The film is being called, and this is affectionately called, Avant Gutter Psychedelic Freakout, which really does sum this movie up. And with the title alone, I think that you know whether you're in or out of this film. If you hear the title, All Jacked Up and Full of Worms, and it piques your interest, then definitely check this out. If you hear a title like that and you think that it's going to be horrible, you think it's going to be disgusting, there's no redeeming values to a film with a title like that, then this movie is probably not for you. But for those that do stick with this and for those that do give this a shot, this is a really wonderful little movie. It's deranged, it's disgusting, but it has a really beautiful heart at moments. And I can't tell you how much I enjoyed watching this film and talking to Alex. And I hope you'll give this one a shot when it hits VOD and Screambox on November 8th. Hope you enjoy the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this today, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk.
Well, this is one of those movies that you see this title. I think that it self-selects its audience in a way, and it lives up to that title, where I think you have an impression of what this film could possibly be. And while I don't think anybody would ever guess exactly where it goes, it does live up to that thing, which is something that often genre films don't do, where they'll have this incredible title, incredible box art, something like that, and it's not that thing you were hoping it would be. No, this movie is certainly jacked up and full of worms. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, the title was something that, like, when I finished the like first draft that really was going to become this movie, I just like slapped that on there because it was instant. I didn't even think about it. And then I spent like the next like 2 years trying to come up with like a different title, and I could not escape it. I just like wouldn't let me go.
No, it's so perfectly encapsulates what this movie is. In a way that you can't find a way around it. Anything else would be probably too cutesy in a way. It suits it perfectly. The thing that struck me right away about this film is all of these characters are pretty horrible people, but I don't feel like they're being judged by the film itself. It's just the audience that's passing judgment on them. I feel like you actually treat these people very sweetly in a way that you give them room to be themselves. And in fact, there's a moment very early on in this film where I don't want to give things away, but there's a baby doll that shows up in a package. And the reveal of what he wanted from that doll was something that I was so incredibly nervous. But then you find out his motivations, while way inappropriate and should not be there, there's a sweetness to it.
Yeah. I just think that that's kind of the point of all art and storytelling, is to like carve out as much space for humanity. And then the point of like a horror movie is to like take us to, you know, depths that we don't necessarily, we don't want to go in our real lives, but like have us confront things, you know.
Well, I could say this is a confrontational movie sense. Yeah. It is something that doesn't shy away from any of the, most things are not alluded to in this film. You do show more than tell here, I would say.
Yeah, I think that like you were saying, the morality in the film is kind of one of the driving points, and also like one of the tonal complicated parts of the movie. Just because in a similar way, like the humor and the horror are also like just where good and bad live, you know, or this sort of like in between place of like. It's like more up to the audience getting their hands dirty into the dirt to figure out how to, you know, read and watch this and go and dream with these characters on their moral dream.
and if you think about it, there's certain lines in this film that if I were to repeat them, I would never say them in public, because
because it was out of fear that I would lose my livelihood, my family would leave me. It's just, there's certain things that happen in this, but in the context of the film, they absolutely work. And it's just, there's this duality to this whole film that I really appreciate, that it's something that I think it has far more depth than a casual viewer that maybe just came across the thumbnail, pressed play, watched it for a few minutes. They might assume that there is something going on here beneath the surface. It's not readily apparent.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think right now there's like a lot of films that want to hold your hand or take a viewer on something that maybe feels familiar. And to me, like, the scariest thing that you can do is like commit these sort of like thought crimes. But when you like situate the viewer and the characters in this like context where this wormy context, you know, where we're like in this motel that's traveling between points of view, you know, like the tightrope walk then becomes like the rules of this moral and tonal tightrope walk become like all by the movie's devices. You know, it's like, it's up to the movie.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And there's something that I think what you bring to this film will definitely, it will be a measure of how you respond to it. So it's not the film itself that it's like it's a Rorschach test in a way, where it says a lot about the individual and how they respond to this. I think more so than it will about what the film is actually saying, because I could see people rejecting certain aspects of this film just on face value and not giving it a chance. And even though the film isn't telling you to do this, it's the baggage that we're bringing to this that'll get in the way or will complicate the viewer's experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That makes great sense. I've gotten one of the largest initial responses to the film was like that it is a like anti-drug parable, that it's just like drugs are bad. And I think like that's definitely there if you need to see that there. To me, it's like definitely the like you're saying, the black and white easy answer isn't offered up, because I don't really like to think about my favorite films don't have like a obvious thesis statement at the end of it, because that's not the point of a movie to me. You know, it's like we should be going on an experience with characters and going on a journey with them. I think that also like just like a lot of my own worries went into the film, you know, like where there's a but not in a way that's like gonna calculate them for a conclusion for myself, because or anyone else, you know, like worry about having a kid or worry about like, you know, starting a nuclear family, you know, like that image at the end of them like holding the baby. It's like you know, it's like it's both absurd, but then it's also like a sweet moment of like, oh, this is like what love looks like. But it's also like covered in ooze. And, you know,
well, but if you pull out from that, there's a really that's what I connected to this, because I'm a dad. I have two kids. And one thing that when you have kids that you'll start hearing right away is once you get married, you'll just, when are you having kids? Once you have a kid, people start asking, when are you having another kid? And it's just this, all of society is just saying, hey, you need to have kids, you need to do this thing. And not everybody is suited for it. It's not something that one sort of life fits all. And it's not one thing that should look the same for everybody. Because I know that the relationship that me and my wife have is not an appropriate relationship for everybody in the world, but it's something that works for us. And we've figured out the way that we do things. And I would never project my life onto somebody else saying, this is the right choice for you. And I think that to me, that's what I took away at the end of this, that it's like, yes, this thing can be found in many different ways. And just because it's not for you doesn't mean it's not valid.
Yeah. That's nice. I like that. Yeah, it's I find it really cool when people find the sentiment and the emotion behind the film. Because like a lot of the way that it's like initially described is, it's like, this is gross out, it'll mess up your life, you know. Which is like true, but then also like it's cool that, you know, you can see beyond the dirt, you know, and the you know, horrible imagery and see like there's like, you know, like a human connection or like a love story there. And like, I think it definitely challenges people to get there, but if you're open to it, you can find it.
Absolutely. It's to me, if you were just simply making a story that was directly that, and that's how you executed it, where it's like, look, this is a family and we're going to tell the story of what this looks like. And we're going to hand feed everything to you, spoon feed everything. And so that you'll have an exact idea of what the moral of the tale is. You reject that, you push back against that. But when it's covered in ooze, when it's covered in, you know, worms, when it's covered in dirt, when it's found through all this stuff, and you see that heart in the middle of that, just right beneath all the shit, you see this like beautiful little flower starting to pop out. It's by far more impactful to me. That's something that where you see true beauty, not something that's being held up as this is beautiful. You need to see the beauty in this. It's when you see beauty in the face of horror, that's the stuff I can.
Today's episode of the Following Films podcast is brought to you by Bookmans. I'm joined today by my son, Jacob. Jacob, say hello to people. Oh, there you go. You're already on it. So, Jacob, when you go to Bookmans, what is it that you like to look at? What do you like to get?
To get toys and movies and the coffee news.
You like to look at the movies and you like to get the coffee news, the newspaper they have out front? That's great. So last time we went into Bookmans, I picked up a movie. What movie did I get, Jacob?
Escape from New York, but that's the name as it hurts of the, as the cover. Sorry, I
watched No, you're okay. Would you talk a little bit about what you see on the cover of Escape from New York on this Blu-ray that I got?
So, based on this cover, you see grass shattered and also the Statue of Liberty's face fell apart because... In this movie, Escape from New York, is the introduction is a man trying to save the president's daughter, and New York turns into a prison in this movie. And there's the hero, as you can see, very strong, in fact.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is one of my favorite movies. I love this movie. Now, you're too young to watch it because you're only 6 years old, but do you think in a couple of years from now, when you get a little bit older, you'll want to check out Escape from New York?
Yeah.
Okay, what's a movie that you've seen that we picked up at Bookman's that you like? Come here, talk so that people can hear you.
Little Shop of Horrors?
Little Shop of Horrors, that's a great movie. So when you're going to Bookman's, you can get movies, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K, Laserdisc, VHS. You can also get comic books, books, newspapers, magazines, home furnishings. You can get tons of stuff there. Because remember, Bookman's has your cool covered. Hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a good idea.
Yeah, you said it better than I would have. That's nice. Yeah. Yeah.
And so could you just talk a little bit about the casting in this? Because these roles, especially, it's kind of like there's really three leads here, but the two at the center that end the film, they're the emotional core of this story. And really, if their relationship doesn't work, the movie doesn't work at all. Because I could see playing this the wrong way, where you would reject this wholeheartedly. But because of these two characters and the way they play them, you feel a sense of empathy, despite any reason that you should, really.
Yeah. Well, so which are your favorite two? Which are your two that you're thinking of? I think structure of the film to me is like built around like Roscoe and Benny.
Yes. Yeah. So
you know, and them meeting at a certain point.
They're the heart of it. Yeah, because they're the ones that are finding their way. I think there's more than that character arc to it, I guess. But really, they're the ones that have had these things around them that are pushing them into each other and kind of redefine what their lives should be together. And so to me, that's what I... And Jesus Christ, man, the way that Benny's presenting that, though, this sort of like mantra that he has about his having a dick and using it to fuck, like you and Nick, like that's one of those things that you, when you say that out of context, it just sounds so horrible and gross. But somehow when he says it, though, it feels sweet. And I don't, that the equation doesn't make sense, but it works somehow.
Yeah. And the fact that he says it three times, you know, it's like it's a mantra, you know.
Yeah.
And like the first time you hear it, you're like, I'm not sure I even heard that. You know, you're like, he must not have said that.
He says it in the context of the baby doll is being delivered. So you make assumptions about what he's into, and yeah. By the end, yeah, that's a pretty complicated, horrible, and wonderful scene at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second time, it's like when he's making this connection with the yep. guy you're talking about with Roscoe, and they're like, they've been pushed together and they are connecting over these worms. And then it's sort of like, you know, the worms are like laced with this like complicated sexual, moral, weirdo, but also like stunted, you know, monologue, you know, like we're talking about it being complicated, but when you hear it, it's like, what, this guy's an idiot. And then by the time we get to the end, it's like almost like a love poem, or not the end, but like it's the like last time he's saying it, it's like almost like he's like professing his love to Roscoe, you know. So it's like it's cool to go on the journey with Benny as he's saying this thing, and how in its context and in his context is changing. But yeah, like the whole point of that was to like have this character who we don't agree with his choices or desires. But like from that perspective is arriving almost at like a progressive and open way of looking at the world, and like sort of just like through experience and through his like dumb head, we're seeing like how his heart is like open and how that's complicating and you know, yeah. I definitely think that you're right. Like their relationship is what carries the entire, like the structure of the movie. And like, you know, when they come together, we're in worms, we're off to the races really.
And it's something that, as we're talking about this, it feels so strange to even be talking about a film like this in this way, but that is really how it resonated with me, that it's something that it does work on that level. And that was my takeaway from it. This is something that, you know, as a dad, I have a 12-year-old son. This is something that I'm not ready to show him yet, but it's something that like, it's almost like I would like to have it on the Blu-ray shelf, and like he comes across it on his own. I don't want to be the one to show it to him, but I kind of want him to find something like this just so he's exposed to something like this. I can't be the one that says, hey, look at this, but he should see this, I feel like, eventually.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, they should teach it in school.
Well, the more that we can show stories that break down the walls around what our preconceived notions are, the better. Because if anything, right now, the times that we're living in, it's in, you know, I tend to be somebody that falls pretty damn left on everything. But I know that I carry baggage to the table when I think about people that have differing opinions than me, and I need to let go of a lot of that stuff, and I have a lot of work to do, and anything that sort of leads people in that direction, because that's the antithesis to being progressive. You need to be open and understanding and willing to forgive. That really to me is what progressiveness is, and that's why I want to embrace that. But over the last couple of years, I found myself moving away from that, and I need to recenter myself again.
Yeah I think that's part of the point of view of the film, where it's like being open and being experiential and like still letting yourself like be creative in how you approach the world and view the world, getting your hands dirty to come up with how you live your life, is definitely like one of the main thrusts of the film. Cause I think like, you know, no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, it seems kind of easy to leap or to grab onto something, you know, that you know is right, you know this is the right thing. But I think it's, you know, like you're saying, this sort of openness is necessary to the process of living and process of being good to each other and, you know, getting it in the dirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that really grabbed me about the times that we're in right now was when the pitch for this movie came over and I opened the email. It said, from the studio that brought you Terrifier 2. And that is something that's being used as a selling point now. It, yeah. And it's just something that I love that. That's kind of where we are now, that it's just opened up in that to that degree. Because that's just such a bananas out there kind of film. And the fact that it found an audience just means that films like yours and these other things that will find, I think, a more... There's an audience out there that's growing in a way that I've never seen before. Right when I thought everything in the world was going to become Marvel and Disney, you can see these little things that are starting to sprout up and all of that. And not unlike, you know, the thing we were talking about before, in all the ugliness, there's that little flower showing up. And to me, that, yeah, absolute thing of beauty to see that kind of recognition for these types of films.
Yeah, it's been really cool to go on the journey with this movie and like find different champions for it, like people. There's, you know, every step of the way, like at, you know, Fantasia, or finding, you know, the guys at Cinedigm and you know, just people who are like, oh, wait, no, I see this and I see what it's doing and I want to champion that. Like finding all these different people that want to take it on. It's, you know, take it to the next level, you know, and it just started as a labor of love, really, just between, you know, me and my friends here in Chicago. So it's really cool to see it become what it is.
And what's going to be next for you? Because I'm a fan. I really enjoyed this film. I hope that you keep making weird films, because I need more of them. I need less, I guess, I need more ambiguity in filmmaking. I need less hand-holding. And I think it's because I'm a narcissist. So ambiguity allows me to project myself into works of art. And so...
We all have like this sort of overactive sense. I don't know, maybe not to go off on this, but like, you know, that's part of our thing of language and putting things together. We want to solve puzzles with our heads, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I think like a lot of stuff is too obvious. You're right. But what's next is this movie, it's called Anything That Moves, and it's like a erotic thriller. But I'm also sort of calling it like a himbo giallo, to like bring in the sort of psychedelic horror stuff of like the 70s from Italy. It's like about this dude who is he's like a young bike delivery guy. But he's also like a sex worker on the side when he's delivering his food. And he, all of his clients are of different like walks of life, and they're, he's like almost magical in the way that he's like interacting with them. Like he's giving them exactly what they need. But then that like dream is shattered because they start showing up like brutally murdered. And like he's got to uncover who is doing all this to like help the people that he has these relationships with. But then also like he's like implicated in all of this, and he has to like unravel who's responsible. Is it someone who, one of his like many lovers that's doing this? Is it like, you know, trying to keep to monopolize him, or is it somebody else? And so, yeah, it's like going to be kind of a weird dream, on a bicycle.
That sounds amazing. That sounds perfect. I love being able to, will you adopt some of that? I always say giallo, and I feel like I'm saying it wrong every time.
Yeah, maybe I did it wrong.
I know. I can't get it out of my head to say it that. And I think I'm the only one that says it that way. I always do it wrong. But anyway, my apologies for mispronouncing always. But there's the style of those films that's very specific, where you have like these anamorphic lenses, and you have just a lot of shadowy psychedelic kind of imagery that you were talking about, and the gloves and the stabbing, these kinds of things that they're sort of the trademarks of that. And I'm wondering if you're going to play with that, the visual language of that as well.
Yeah. I mean, my connection to it is actually like which I think a lot of people disparage, is like the storytelling devices of how, you know, these filmmakers worked with a tight budget, shot something in like, you know, like 2 weeks, and put together this like a thriller, you know, that moves in and out of people's heads and and takes us on like a sort of a dream logic journey. That's probably my deeper connection to it than the gloves. But I will definitely be, the camera will be moving and there will be zooms and fades and, you know, and cool lighting, you know, like the pretty gel, the contrast of, you know, like this, you know, a big red light and, you know, with the, you know, glow of green on someone's face. That'll definitely be in there. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be too pastiche when I'm like thinking about films. I don't want to be too referential. I kind of think that every movie should have its own form and look. So that's kind of, so I'll be stealing, but I will be also trying to use it as its own thing.
That's kind of the idea. We can't reinvent it every time it's going out there with each film. You know, you kind of just take what's out there, build upon it, and you make your own thing with it. And that's something that it sounds like, just even by the conceit of this story, the idea of the way you're doing this, that you're putting an American gigolo on a bicycle with the with this magical element to it. You've already just, I'm on board for that 100%. So I'm excited to see that, Alex.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this today, man. I really appreciate it. I've really enjoyed the film, and best of luck with it, because you made something really special here, man.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Right. Take care, man. Have a good one.
Bye. Easy. Bye.
Time enough to figure you out. Time enough to write this down. Wish me luck, give me hope.
voice cracked.